I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Summit Church. We are in the book of Revelation, and we've got the pastor speaking on Revelation. We got me speaking on Revelation. You guys are going to get your fill of Revelation. Now, I ain't too worried about him teaching on chapter 21 because we're only on chapter 8 right now. You guys will have forgotten everything the pastor said by the time I get to chapter 21 and 22. So that's okay. That's just warming the seats up so that when I get there, we can do a really good job as well of covering what heaven's going to be like. And we are in chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and we're going to be talking about the first four trumpet judgments. So in this journey that we are taking through the book of Revelation, we have come to the trumpet judgments of the tribulation period. Now, we've seen a vision of the resurrected and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. We have read and discussed the letters the Lord wrote to the seven churches of the church age. We have discussed the coming rapture of the church age saints. And we have seen John in a symbol of the rapture being called by Jesus Christ to come up to heaven and witness the remaining events from the throne of God. And he saw the 24 elders from representing the Old and the New Testament saints. And John saw the four beasts, who are a class of angels of the highest order, or the cherubim. And then he watched as the Lord took the scroll that is the title deed of the earth and opened the seven sealed judgments, and we've gone through each of those seven sealed judgments. And John witnessed the chaos and the wars and the disease and the famine that resulted in the deaths of at least a quarter of the entire population of the world as the seals were opened. And then the seventh seal was opened, and we discussed this last week, and there was a silence of a space of about a half an hour in heaven in anticipation of this next series of judgments called the trumpet judgments. So, and this is where we pick up our lesson from last week, talking about the silence in heaven. It was an ominous silence, which foreshadowed the terrible judgments that we are about to see come upon the earth. And during that period of silence, John saw seven angels take up seven trumpets and begin to prepare themselves to blow those. And you can imagine those angels standing up there grabbing his trumpet and then bringing air into their lungs and so forth and getting ready to blow on these trumpets as they each one is sounded and each one is portending a terrible judgment that is going to come upon the earth. And John saw those seven angels, and then he saw another angel who took a golden censer, filled it with the incense, and approached the golden altar to release the prayers of the saints mixed with the smoke of the incense as an offering to God. And then he approached the brazen altar, the altar of judgment, and he filled that censer with fire and cast it down to the earth. And here we go. Here we get into the lesson for today. That's just a warm-up, guys. Here we go. In verses 5 through 6 of chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. So John tells us that this fire that he filled this censer with was being cast down to earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the people on earth, you can imagine being on the earth when this occurs, they must have looked up into heaven and wondered at what they saw and what they heard. For fire came down from the sky, and the ground shook beneath them as the sky rumbled with the sounds of voices from heaven, and the sky flashed with thunder and lightning. And as I read this, I wonder if those voices were angry voices and or were they voices warning the earth of, hey boy, you better get ready because here it comes. Were they fearful voices? But these voices are rumbling at the same time as the sky is flashing and thundering, it is rolling, and I try to figure out, is it even a voice that you could understand, or was it such a roll of loud voices that it sounded like thunder that was in the sky as well? And I can just imagine all of the angels and or creating these voices as this was taking place. And so all of this is just the setting of the stage for this next event. And it had to be terrifying to be on earth and see all of this take place. And if you remember, at the beginning of chapter 6, I said there would be three sets of judgments during the tribulation period. And I said that it made it sound like it had happened. I'm talking about John looking at it and seeing it happen. Of course, all of this stuff is out in the future. It hasn't happened yet. If you remember at the beginning of chapter 6, I said there would be three sets of judgments during the tribulation period. There'll be the seal judgments, there'll be the trumpet judgments, and then there'll be the vial judgments. And so we've completed the seal judgments, and we found that in these, the world is ruined by man. So events recorded under the seal judgments are essentially extensions that are very evident in today's world. The chief difference is that the church will be gone, and to a large extent, so will restraint from the Holy Spirit and from God and from the presence of the church be gone. And it'll all be removed. And the evil seeds that men have sown during the church age and even after the church is gone, all of those seeds that man had planted will grow and become fruit. And so under the trumpet judgments, the judgments that we're about to study, it is the world that is ruled by Satan. And so a vast and new dimension of the supernatural is going to be introduced. Satan is going to be cast down to earth. The planet is invaded by hordes of evil spirits, and Satan's plans for this earth are going to be matured. And so then the last set of judgments during this period will be the vial judgments, and where the world is rescued by God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and Satan's empire is dealt blow after blow by God himself until at last the Lord, accompanied by his saints, returns from glory to put an end to this world's woes. So, here with the start of the trumpet judgments, we will see the power of Satan and his Superman, the Antichrist, ascend to rule the world. The people of the earth have rejected Christ, and now God is about to let them have what they said they always wanted. They're going to have a ruler with no morals, no goodness, totally corrupt, and having the destruction of the entire human race as his goal. Make no mistake about it, Satan hates mankind because we are God's creation. Man was created by God to worship God, and Satan cannot tolerate that or stand that. Man was created to worship God. And Satan has spent every day since he fell trying to corrupt and destroy God's creation, and mankind is at the top of his list. So with all of this in mind, let me say that there are many, many interpretations of the events that we are about to describe. Everything from it, taking it absolutely literal, reading exactly what the Scripture says, to completely symbolic. Now, as usual, I try to think of that as probably both. I think it's both symbolic as well as literal. And as we have said before, the book of Revelation is a book of symbolism, but each of these symbols have an actual, real meaning behind it. There will be an event or a person that is behind each one of these symbols that exist. So, with that said, I'm going to give you what the Word of God says, and then we'll discuss possible interpretations from both the literal and the symbolic viewpoint. But that doesn't mean that it's all one or the other. And we'll talk about that. It could be some of both that are involved in this. Now, I'm not going to do a lot of speculation. I taught the book of Revelation when I was a lot younger, and I used to speculate all the time about what everything meant in the book of Revelation, and everything I used to think it was going is all gone and changed by now. So, you know, you think about how the world has changed in the last 40 years, and, you know, the world's not even close to what it was, and the things we thought of back then, are going to be old and gone, and the things we think about today, they're going to be old and gone too by the time all this takes place. And you know, I hope it happens tomorrow, but who knows when it's going to take place. So I don't try to speculate a whole lot about what all this means. I'll say, you know, some things that it could be, but you know, that's about it. I don't get all hung up that it's going to be the European Union that are the 10 heads of the monster, because there's 25 countries in the European Union right now, or 23. So it's a 23-headed monster. It's going to have to change some, you know, before all that takes place. So anyway, don't get too hung up with me on things if I don't say your favorite theory and from some other evangelist or teacher has said this is what it's going to be, okay? So the truth is, I don't know for sure what is correct, and neither does anybody else, okay, except God. Now, there is one thing I do know for sure. Whatever happens, whether it's symbolic, whether it's literal, whether it's a combination of both, I am glad I am going to be up in heaven when these trumpets sound. As horrible as these things are going to be, you don't want to be down here on this earth having to live through what is going to happen. And the only way you can be up in heaven during this time is to be saved, to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't have that nailed down, then you better get ready to listen, because you're going to go through the things that are taking place here that we're going to talk about here today, okay? So in terms of timing within the tribulation period, as with the sealed judgments, you know, the Bible does not say when the trumpet judgments occur. But if this is the set of judgments that describe a world ruled by Satan, then that would lead us to believe that the Great Tribulation Period, or that last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, are about to begin as these trumpets are about ready to sound. I don't know that, but it just seems to make sense that the seal judgments would have set the stage for the coming of the Antichrist. The trumpets are his time of rule. The vial judgments are God's response to the cries of his people for salvation. And so, in terms of timing within the tribulation period, if you pinned me down to the floor and said, Keith, give me your best opinion when this is happening, I would say that the seal judgments probably occurred in the first 3.5 years, or even extended over the 7 years for some of them, but they set the stage for the trumpet judgment to begin the Great Tribulation Period, and they are going to occur during the last 3.5 years. And then the vile judgments are happening towards the end of the Great Tribulation period. But that's just my sense of reading what I read and think about it. Don't get hung up on that. Don't put a clock on the book of Revelation. Yeah, things don't happen in sequence. Sometimes we're going to talk about things that are going to happen further down the road and then come right back down to it. Do I believe that it is generally chronological? Absolutely. Do I think that the church age has already happened? Absolutely. Do I think the rapture of the church has already happened? Absolutely, in terms of our study of the book of Revelation. They're still in the future, but in terms of chapters 1 through 7 and 8, those things are happening chronologically as we have now come into our study of the book of Revelation. But yeah, you know, don't put a clock on things, because things are going to happen at various times. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of that today. So, everybody with me? All right, we come to the first trumpet, verse 7, chapter 8. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So the first trumpet announces the judgment on the land and the things that grow on the earth. And the literal viewpoint on this can be one of two things. Either it is man-made or God-made. Certainly man has within his power the bombs and the weapons that could destroy a third of all the trees of the world. And we were talking a little bit earlier about this accelerator that's over in Europe or whatever it is. Something blows up over there because they hit two atoms they shouldn't have hit together. Could it destroy everything? Absolutely. I mean, is that possible? Certainly. You know, but it's going to have to burn all of the grass and all of the vegetation off of the face of the earth. And what could do that? Certainly nuclear weapons could do that as part of a war that was taking place. Now, it could also be God repeating the plagues that he put upon Egypt. Exodus 9, 23 through 24 says, "And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, and so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation." So if this viewpoint is true, then we will see at least five of the nine plagues of Egypt repeated on a worldwide scale upon the earth. So, without question, a literal fulfillment of this judgment is certainly credible. It could happen just like it says right here in these verses. But there could also be symbolic meaning to these things. And nor does it mean, as I said earlier, that one is exclusive from the other. It doesn't have to be all literal, and it doesn't have to be all symbolic. It can be some of both that are taking place. So the Bible is full of such typology, things that happen at the first, and it has a meaning for what is happening right then, but it also has a meaning for later on as well. So the Bible is full of that kind of typology. If we look at the symbolic meaning, then we need to ask, what do grass and trees symbolize in the Bible? Well, grass represents masses of people. Isaiah 46 through 7 says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." So the grass in these verses could be masses of people, symbolically. And trees in the Bible, they represent leaders and rulers. Nebuchadnezzar was described as a tree in his dream that Daniel interpreted for him. And if this is true, then what is symbolized is a major upheaval among the nations that result in the downfall of many of the rulers of these nations, which is a step, as we were talking about with Lauren just a minute ago, that would be required for the Antichrist to take complete power. I think he's been working his way through the nations of the world, but this would be the major upheaval that could possibly take place to allow him to take over the entire world. All of these rulers are going to have to be gone. So it would also mean a massive killing of huge numbers of people represented by the burning of the grass, or the symbolism of the grass. Either way, literal or symbolic, this event, terrible as it will be, is just the first trumpet. We got seven trumpets to go through here. So let's go to the second trumpet, verses 8 and 9. "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." So the second judgment sends forth judgment upon the oceans and the things that live in the sea. So in a literal interpretation, we have something like a mountain. John doesn't say that it is a mountain. He says, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. So from a literal standpoint, what could this be? It could be an erupting volcano that sends forth fire and burning lava into the sea so that a third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea die, and a third of the ships are destroyed. And so, which sea would this happen in? Well, most commentators think it is the Mediterranean Sea, which is the sea that John would be most familiar with. But it doesn't say that. We just say that that's the one John is most familiar with, okay? On the other hand, if it is symbolic, what do mountains and the sea represent in the Bible? Well, a mountain is frequently used to symbolize a great nation. For example, Babylon is spoken of as a destroying mountain in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 51:25 says, "Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain." Well, that sure sounds familiar, doesn't it, to what we're reading here in our verses today, right? So if a mountain represents great nation, what about the sea? Well, a sea represents masses of people as well. Isaiah 57, 20 through 21 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So the symbolic meaning could be that a great Babylonish type of nation is going to arise. It could be the nation that will be ruled by the Antichrist. And this mountain or nation is going to be cast into the waters, which stands for the wicked and the restless people. And this is one of those places where I say, you know, don't put a clock on it, because we're now only on the second trumpet. And this is talking about the Babylonian nation being destroyed that we're talking about. And if it was the nation that the Antichrist created, then this may happen towards the end of the tribulation period. So, I don't know which nation it's going to be. It could be a great nation that the Antichrist destroys, throws into the sea of wicked people. But we'll see in chapter 13 that the beast comes out of this restless sea of people, and he will bring great death and destruction to these people as he dominates the world landscape. And so this is the second trumpet. We've had the first trumpet, and we've had the second trumpet. You see how clear this is? It's just as clear as mud, right? We absolutely know what's going to happen, all right? So now we have the third trumpet, and we have verses 10 through 11. "So and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." Here the third trumpet proclaims judgment upon the rivers and the men who walk on the earth. Now, if we take this one literally, we have a third ecological disaster happening on the earth. The trees and the grass and the sea have all been devastated by the sounding of the first and the second trumpets, right? So now with this third trumpet, the rivers and the fountains are spoiled. And with fountains, we're talking about fresh water. And we're talking about the water that men drink with the rivers and so forth. Could it be an asteroid that hits the earth as a flaming star? Well, it could be. I don't think asteroids are going to go out of style in the next 40 years while I'm still trying to teach this thing. So that could be the answer that's going to take place. If a number of them hit the earth, they could poison the freshwater supply and kill many people. Now, wormwood, and it talks about a star named Wormwood, and C.S. Lewis and the Screwtape Letters, notwithstanding. You guys are all familiar with that, right? So wormwood is a herb that is very bitter. And in Jeremiah 9, 13 through 15, it says, "And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I have set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink." So maybe the rivers of the earth will be poisoned with this wormwood, this herb. It's actually used in creating a drink, and I can't pronounce it. It's been around for centuries. Asbithne or abinthine, it's A-B-S-I-N-T-H-E, however you want to say that. But it's very intoxicating, very high in alcoholic content, and it's quite poisonous. You try to drink very much of it at all. Could all the rivers and the waters be poisoned with this herb that's called wormwood? Certainly that could happen. On the other hand, if we take this symbolically, you know, commentators have varied widely. I mean, if you listen to somebody teaching on the book of Revelation, they're going to have almost a different opinion to what this one is, okay? There are so many variations as to what this really stands for. But commentators have said that this star might represent Simon Magus. They might represent Attila, the scourge of God, or Muhammad, or even the Jewish historian Josephus has been suggested as being this. Now, of course, those are all happening in the past, and we're talking about things happening in the future, so I don't agree with any of those answers as being who this is. But some have identified the falling star with the Antichrist. And others have identified the star as Satan. So is this a representation of Satan being cast down as the star coming down out of the heaven? And this is why I said don't get too hung up on timing here is when things happen, because we're going to talk about that later in the tribulation period. But certainly, we know that Satan is symbolized as a fallen star in Isaiah. Isaiah 14:12 says, and I'm using the New American Standard Version here instead of the King James Version because it talks about this. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, and he's talking about Lucifer. O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to earth, you who have weakened the nations. Could this star be Satan? Yeah. And a potential clue to the interpretation of who this is found in chapter 12, verse 12 of the book of Revelation. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And so I'm glad he's got a short time, right? But this verse is a warning to those on earth that the devil is coming. And earlier in chapter 12, and we'll study this, we are told how in his original fall, the devil, the great red dragon, drug a third part of the stars, i.e. his angels, out of heaven with him, right? If this star is Satan, then the waters would be people. And as we've said before, a sea is symbolized as masses of people. But the book of Revelation also tells us that waters represent people. Revelation 17:15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Without a doubt, the goal of Satan from the creation of man has been to poison all of human life and society. And in chapter 13, we will see Satan being cast out of the heavenlies. His arrival on earth will cause great human destruction. The fall of Satan adds a whole new dimension to the disasters which are overtaking the globe with the sounding of these trumpets. The beast will likely already be here, benign as yet, and now that Satan arrives, knowing that his time is short, it will take only a step or two for Satan's plans for the planet to mature. So that's the third trumpet. The fourth trumpet, verses 12 and 13, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. So, you think it's been bad yet? Wait till the last three trumpets that we'll talk about next week, right? So the fourth trumpet sounds, and God sends judgment upon the skies and the very light that shines from heaven. So the literal interpretation here of this trumpet would say that John's description saying the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now that would be the natural result of volcanoes spewing ash into the air, or nuclear blast spewing so much debris up into the air, into the atmosphere, that it darkens the world. You've seen all these apocalyptic movies and how it turns dark because of a nuclear exchange that takes place. Everybody's seen Mad Max and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that shows you my ill-spent youth, right? Talking about those kinds of movies. The nuclear holocaust that would come and remove all of the vegetation and turn things dark. So could that happen? Sure. Or it could be God simply drawing his hand across the sun, the moon, and the stars, causing the darkness to occur. And this increased, whichever it is, this increases the time of darkness, and it would fall right in line with the desires of men. I talked earlier about the plagues of Egypt. Well, certainly God rendered darkness as one of the plagues of Egypt. Could he do it again? Absolutely, he could do it again. But that darkness is what man wants, right? This is what the evil desires of men have. John 3:20 says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved." So now, with this trumpet, men will have their share of the darkness. And so that's the literal interpretation. It's the result of all these other events, these ecological disasters that have happened, or it's God simply drawing his hand across the sun, the moon, and the stars, creating the darkness. So symbolically, the sun, moon, and stars speak in the Bible of ruling authority. So whenever the Bible talks about the sun, moon, and the stars in symbolic in symbolism, they're talking about ruling authorities. So for example, the pastors of the church are symbolized as stars in the early chapters of Revelation that we covered. Now, one explanation of this is that when the fourth trumpet sounds, the whole structure of society comes apart. You know, the things that God ordained to give guidance and light are now totally obliterated. The demon of darkness, Satan, becomes the prince of this world in the form of his Antichrist, who brainwashes the multitudes. Now, certainly this drama that is unfolding is intensified by the coming of another angel that flies through the air as an eagle that everybody can see. And John tells us that the angel cries out with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And notice that these warnings of woe are about the last three trumpets. It's not about the first four that have already occurred. The really hard part of these judgments is getting ready to happen in the next three judgments. And he's telling the world, look out, because here it comes, and woe unto you who are the inhabitants of the earth. Now, as you can see from all of this, it's not really clear what the true meaning of these events are. Is it going to be man doing all of this? Is it going to be God doing these directly things that are happening? Is it going to be symbolically representing all these events that are taking place? Again, I think it's going to be some of both. I think it is Revelation is a book of symbols, and it's also a book of facts. And so I think a combination of everything that we've talked about here this morning is really what's going to take place. Could it be that these ecological disasters are what caused all of the upheaval in society? Sure. I mean, when we start talking about society being thrown apart, what would cause that? I mean, look at how our society reacts when we have a hurricane hit one of our cities. I mean, all of the looting and all of the destruction and all of the evil that comes out in man. Now, certainly the good part of man comes out as we try to rescue things. But you notice that the news media, they don't spend a whole lot of time talking about the bad things that were going on and the people who were trying to do things. They focus only on the good things, the responders that were working and so forth. But if you want to take apart society, take apart everything that makes man have what meets his desires. Remove electricity, remove the food supply, remove hospitals, remove the things that take the air conditioning away. I mean, you know, temperatures start to fly when things start getting hot and the mosquitoes get big enough to carry you off, right? So, you know, the things that are going to take place in society can cause all these things that John is seeing symbolically as well, and he's mentioning these things. So I think it's going to be some of both, if you were to pin me down. I can tell you they happen during the tribulation period. I can tell you that they will happen, because God says that they're going to happen. Nobody knows what is correct, and it's foolish to get upset about one interpretation over the other. But as I said earlier, the clear message is whether or not these events are literal or symbolic, you don't want to be here when all of this is getting ready to happen. That much is true. That much I can say, that I don't want to be here. And you know what? I can be absolutely dogmatic about that part of this. I can say that is true. I don't want to be here when all of this is going on. So next week, we're going to continue with the remaining three trumpets. And I don't know if I'll get through all of those. We're going to spend a long time on the fifth trumpet. And the fifth trumpet is the hordes and hordes of demons that are going to be released from the abyss upon the earth. And you want to understand woe, that is going to be a judgment that is going to take place. So that's the warning that the angel is giving us. And I may not get out of that fifth trumpet next week, but we'll see.